Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, who is the Christ. Amen. I find it kind of interesting. Last night, as I was listening to the storm rage literally through my house, as I reflected on this past week, thinking about feeling like I was in the middle of a storm, only it was beautiful, sunny skies most of the week. So as I reflected on the week and preparing for today, I realized a lot of what I felt in listening and paying attention to the news is helplessness. And I'm going to assume that you probably did too. That there were times where we threw up our hands and said, really, can there be any more? As I heard the news, the strong sense of the fact that history repeats itself came up and up over and over again for me. And that our culture has learned little to maybe nothing about the help for the helpless. That children somehow seem to matter less than acts of revenge. And that children seeking sanctuary are denied safe shelter. It just kind of blew my mind. And that taking a stand seemed more important than acting with mercy. And the lives of precious people are lost in senseless acts of violence, whether in the air or on the ground. For a while this week, I tried to ignore it. I tried to just not go to my newsfeed and Facebook. I tried to not read the New York Times. I tried to just pay attention to other things. And I even Googled refugee children in Hawaii, thinking maybe there was some news that would bring out some goodness and light. And when I found very little in reflection to the current situation and our response, I thought, well, this situation is far away, right? It's irrelevant to me because it's far away and removed. We are in the far reaches of the West, after all. But then letters started to appear from Lutheran Public Policy, from disaster relief, from the Episcopal Church in the United States. All kinds of letters started coming up on my news feed requesting advocacy on the part of children and refugee families. My most previous home, Massachusetts, the governor was talking all about how they were going to reach out and give homes to some of the children. And then I read an essay in which a church leader reminded us that Jesus himself was an infant fleeing violence in his place of birth. And a friend and a colleague posted pictures that she took just recently in the Garden of Gethsemane on her pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And moments later, in my same feed, were pictures of a Palestinian hospital destroyed, completely destroyed by bombs. And then again and again, images like that kept coming up. Stories and reflections kept appearing. And I didn't know how many times I saw my friends posting in almost the same words over and over again, what's wrong with this world? The lamentations of the Psalms came to mind. You know which one, right? How long, O Lord, how long? And I'll admit, for a while I got stuck, and I still feel myself a little stuck once in a while, in that place of lamenting, seeing no way out. And at first, my first glances, I found that the scripture appointed for today was irrelevant to the pain of the world and to what I was feeling myself. But in the midst of seemingly inescapable litany of tragedy this week, I tried to pay a little bit more attention. And I read an interview that was posted with the former Archbishop of Canterbury. His words were powerful. And in that interview, Rowan Williams referenced theologian Karl Barth in his charge to any potential bishop. He says, remember, you have to preach with a Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. Okay, fine. And he said, you have to be cross-referencing them all the time, saying, how does the vision of humanity and community that's put before us in the Bible, how does it map onto the issues of poverty, violence, and conflict? And he asks, what have you to use in what you read in the newspaper to prompt and to direct questions that we put to the Bible? Where is this going to help me? So I charged myself with a task this week, looking at the scripture that we had appointed to us that I thought had really little to say, and I put myself in the place of listening, listening to what it does indeed say, and listening to what the news says on the other hand, Bible and the news. And this is what I heard. We are a people called to be in the world. It was almost as clear as daylight. And when I speak of faith as a verb, not just as a noun or as a thing we direct to ourselves to, but as a verb, as an action, when we leave this place of worship, we are called to serve in the world, in the midst of all that is going on. And as much as I wanted to filter away the broken bits and focus instead on the good and the holy and the peaceful and the easy, I am called to proclaim something bigger, something more of God, and not something of my own weakness and my own desires. If I pretend that the other stuff is not happening and does not exist, I lose the opportunity to be a part of the healing. I think as Christians, we are called and charged with bringing the good and the whole and the holy into the world that we live in. We are called to bring and be reconciliation. We are called to bring peace and to embrace mercy. The act of whole, making whole what has been broken, the act of work of reconciliation, I think, lies with us. So holding the Bible in one hand and the news in the other, I wondered, and I still do, will we, the people of LCH, will we as individuals, will we as a congregation be a blessing to the families of the earth, regardless of race and nation or creed or class and background? Will we as a community, will we advocate for the marginalized? Will we lend a voice to the voiceless? Will we people as a nation look up beyond ourselves and upon ourselves to be a blessing? Will we exist as the hope of creation, the people and the body of Christ? Paul's reading today eventually struck me pretty powerfully. And if you didn't hear the words clearly today, I invite you to spend a little more time on that passage from Romans. Paul writes, "Creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God." Don't we? We await with eager longing for what God has in store. And as we work, I think, towards God's kingdom, the indwelling of grace and love made manifest through our efforts, I think we will be the children that God and creation long for. The news is never going to change, probably. The news will always give us bad news. It's not always good news that we hear over the television or in our newspapers. Sometimes it'll be things that we don't expect. Other times it'll be continued stories. And I wonder, as the continued stories and the new surprises that strike us cause us to be in pain, will we be that creation, that people of God? As ice melts and sea levels rise, will we be careful stewards of all that we have for this creation that is longing? Will we bring healing to the earth in all that we do? Will we raise awareness for the reality that the earth carries the burden of our lives and our lifestyles? Will we grow even closer to God, the God of all, and claim our place as children in the kingdom? So these texts for today, I think I heard clearer as I heard the storm raging around. I think our call is to see and to know ourselves as children of the kingdom, spread out throughout the world, not just, you know, here in this little corner of the kingdom, but throughout the world, concerning ourselves with the work of creation in all places. And I think when we let go of destruction, when we as a whole people let go of destruction, and when we hear those words of forgiveness that we received this morning and truly take them in, we then nourish weed and wheat together. Knowing that if we seek to destroy that which we deem evil, we will also destroy that which we deem good. Scholars note that the weed to which the passage refers looked much like growing wheat. They were pretty similar in their look. So if the weed was pulled up, there was a risk of pulling up the wheat as well, and which would mean bad things for the harvest, right? And thus, in terms of this parable, for us, what I hear is that in taking revenge and in exacting judgment, that we also destroy ourselves. Hopefully, the good wheat as well. We don't want to destroy the good wheat. We want it to grow and to flourish. So we work for peace in the world while we encounter pain and brokenness with mercy. May we see Christ in every human being, and I pray that we mourn that each dead one as our own. We hold the Bible in one hand and the news in the other. Because all of those stories in the news, I feel, are our stories. This is the world that we live in. And in just these few words of scripture that we heard for today, we are reminded that we are called to be a blessing, called to be in the creation, offering freedom from bondage. We are called to nourish and not to judge. We are called to trust in the ever-present God of creation, knowing that God's presence is true and sustainable in all times and in all things and in all people. So to quote again Archbishop Rowan Williams, how does this vision of humanity and community that's put before us in the Bible, how does it map onto the issues of poverty, violence, and conflict? I invite you to take some time today with the Bible in one hand and the news, whether it's your phone or the actual newspaper, or your computer in the other, and pray upon the call of our lives to be people working for the gifts of reconciliation in all of the kingdom throughout the world. Amen.